Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. This week we are presenting The Raven Steals the Light, a traditional winter solstice story from the indigenous peoples of the Pacific Northwest, adapted by Daniel Hines. The winter solstice is the celebration of the shortest day of the year and the longest night of the year, and it happens this week. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Logan and Harrison and their family, Quinn Savini Barber and their family, Olivia and Michelle and their family, and Elliot and Justin and their family. Thank you for helping to support our show, Justin, Elliot, Michelle, Olivia, Quinn, Harrison, and Logan. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. You may have noticed that we've had more ads on the show lately, and we wanted to reassure you that this is just during the holiday season and not the new normal. We'll be donating the revenue from our holiday ads in the name of the podcast and our listeners to DonorsChoose.org, funding educational projects in public schools around the country. If you'd like to, head to DonorsChoose.org, browse the projects that need funding, and let us know which ones you think we should support. As always, if you head to Patreon.com/stories and make a pledge, no matter how small, we provide you with ad-free downloads of all of our stories for you to keep. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Raven Steals the Light. Long, long ago, before history had a name, the world was covered in darkness. There wasn't the barest glimmer of light to be found, either in the sky or on the earth. No stars twinkled, no fires burned, no moon shone, and no sun rose to greet the day. All light was held prisoner by a cruel and cunning old man who kept all the light in boxes in his little home upon the seashore. The old man was not alone in his home. With him lived his daughter. Some say she was very beautiful, some say she was not. With no light to see, you couldn't really tell one way or the other. She and her father would rise each day in the dark, fish the seas in the dark with coarsely woven nets, and then return home and eat in the dark. All over the world it was the same. People lived their lives blind, moving through the inky black darkness as best as they could. Watching all of this was a raven. He wasn't just any old raven, though. He was the raven, the magician trickster who had been watching humanity since the first hut was built. He was as old as the world itself and knew many wonderful and terrible and peculiar bits of magic. Some people say that all of humanity was locked away in a cockle shell until the raven had set them free. Others said that he grew humans from the ground in order to have guests for a party he was throwing. Whatever the truth may be, no one denied the raven's power. One day, after many years of watching, the raven became angry with the old man who dared to keep all of the light for himself. To keep prisoner the stars and the moon and the sun, all of which yearned to be free in the sky, was a terrible thing, and the raven vowed to free them. He knew the old man was very protective of his boxes, so he planned carefully. He used his magic to transform himself into a single, slender green needle from an evergreen tree and let himself drift into the waters of a stream where the old man and his daughter got their drinking water. As he had hoped, the next time the daughter came to fill their drinking bucket, he was scooped up, too. That night, at dinner, the raven was listening as the old man and his daughter prepared to eat. The names of the old man and the daughter have been forgotten in the fog of time, so we will call him Skye and her Frida.
Frida!
Skye would holler into the darkness of their hut when they returned home from fishing.
I will prepare the fish. You get the drinks.
So Skye plated 2 fresh fish, and Frida poured 2 clay mugs full of water. Because of the darkness, she didn't notice that in her mug floated the raven, still disguised as an evergreen needle. And because it was so small, she also didn't notice that she drank him down with her very first sip, sending him slipping and sloshing into her belly. In her belly, the raven then transformed into a baby, no bigger than an acorn. With the help of his powerful magic, the raven continued to grow larger and larger until he was born into the world as a tiny little baby boy. Frida and Skay were both very happy. Just as the clever raven had planned, Skay now thought of him as a grandson and could deny him nothing. So one night, shortly after he was born, the raven began to cry and cry. He screamed and wailed with his little baby lungs, and nothing Frida or Skay did seemed to make him happy.
"Father, what do we do? The boy won't sleep, the boy won't eat, the boy won't stop!"
Skay thought long and hard, and finally remembered the hidden boxes he kept in the back of their little home.
"I have something that may make him happy."
He went back and brought out a small box. It was still too dark to see what it looked like, but when it was shaken, it rattled and tinkled like it was all full of bells.
"Now, boy, you be very careful with this," said Skay,
and he handed the box to the raven, who was still disguised as the baby boy. The raven stopped crying immediately, and, smiling a clever smile, he pulled the lid off the box. With a great and musical roar, all of the stars in the world flew out of the box and out of the door, leaving faint trails of stardust in their wake.
"My light!"
hollered Skay, but it was too late. When he ran out the door after the stars, he saw them all twinkling high above in the sky. He griped and grumbled, but he loved his grandson too much to be angry. Besides, he still had the moon and sun prisoner, so he was happy enough. And the world was happy too, because for the first time, they could see. Just a little, like what we see on a moonless night, but it was more light than the world had ever known, and people everywhere wept tears of joy that glistened on their cheeks. A short while later, the raven, still disguised as the baby boy, began to scream and wail again. This time Skay let him cry for a full day and night before finally giving in. He went and fetched another box. When this one was shaken, it sounded like the bright note of a giant gong being struck. When Skay gave it to the raven gurgled happily, but as soon as Skay's back was turned, he pulled off the lid. Like a speeding silver fish, the moon flew out the door and into the starry sky.
"No, my light!"
hollered Skay, but again, it was too late. When he ran out the door, the moon was already high in the sky, shining like a beacon among the stars. He griped and grumbled, but he loved his grandson too much to be angry. Besides, he still had the ultimate treasure of the sun, so he was happy enough. And the world was happy too, because when the moon was full, they could see the world around them for the first time. They stared for hours at the colors and the flowers and the vastness of the sea and the beauty in the faces of their families, and they wept tears of joy that seemed to glow like diamonds in the moonlight as they rolled down their cheeks. Now, the raven was glad to have freed the stars and moon, but he wouldn't stop until the sun was also free. So a few nights later, he screamed and cried louder than ever before. Frida did everything she could to make the baby boy happy, still not suspecting it was the raven in disguise. But nothing worked. This time, Skay let the boy cry for 7 days and 7 nights before finally giving in. He brought out the smallest box yet. The wood seemed to glow orange in the moonlight, and when it was shaken, it sounded like a dragon's roar.
"This time we will be more careful," he said to Frida.
He went and closed the door to the little house and locked it many times over. Then he went to the windows and covered them with wooden boards. Finally, he took stones and jammed their little chimney. The little house secured, he gave the baby boy the box. And to his immense surprise, the baby boy immediately turned back into the raven.
"Trickster! Thief!"
he hollered, but the raven only laughed and opened the box. The little house was immediately full of the molten yellow light of the sun, so bright that Frida and Skay had to cover their eyes. "Remember this the next time you want to keep something so beautiful for yourself," said the raven, and clutching the sun tightly in his beak, he flew up and burst through the roof of the little house. Higher and higher he flew, and using the best of his magic, he hung the sun back in the sky. Skay cursed and swore, but Frida laughed and danced, loving the feel of the sun upon her skin. People all over the world did the same.
running from their homes to bask in the light of the sun, warmer and happier than they had ever been. And every day after, the sun and moon and stars would shine down their light, and people everywhere could see the world in which they lived, and they all thanked the cunning raven, who had, at least this once, used his trickster magic for good. That day, the day the raven stole the light, is remembered now as the winter solstice, because that is when the sun is let free and the daylight hours again begin to grow longer. The end. Today's story, The Raven Steals the Light, is a traditional winter solstice story adapted by Daniel Hines and performed by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support the show, please head to our iTunes page and leave us a review. If you would like to receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to amanda@storiespodcast.com and tell us who we should thank. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.